Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, welcome to The Watchman for this evening, and today we are going to be talking about the Antichrist, as I promised last week. But I just want to first of all say that the messages for last month have been sent out. The link has been sent out, so I'm sure all the people requested for it, as many as people who actually requested for it as recently as 2 days ago, I must have received it. Now it's the same link that has all the messages, and they just update it. So they have been received by quite a number of people. Now, of course, there are a few complaints of people who are failing to download and ask me how to do it. I'm not so, I'm not that much of a literate in these things, but I just tell them to keep on trying. Then there are people who use company emails, which might be sieved for some reason. So even when we send those emails out, they don't reach them, because it's possible that the company servers and what see the kind of emails maybe have a limit of space and things like that. So I'm sure if you really want to receive them, the best thing to do is to get a Gmail or Yahoo address, a private email address anyhow, and not a company one. And that has been a problem for some people, from what I'm told. But otherwise, I've been told by a partner who sends the messages out that everybody, as recent as those who asked for the recordings a couple of days ago, have received them. Now, of course, if you have any question, anything you want to answer, we've previously used email quite a bit to answer questions, but then there have been some people who have said that maybe we should open the lines on air and people call in and contribute to the discussion. And that is something that is under consideration as we speak, and that we might probably do at some stage. But the reason I didn't do it at the beginning is, one, I thought so many people hadn't got the grasp of the subject of the end times, but now they have. Actually, we have so many people who send me emails telling me things that they have seen which are interesting, which are happening around the world. And I really do appreciate them, because some of those things have escaped my attention. And then somebody sends you an email and says, have you read this? Have you heard about this? So generally, the subject is permeating in among our listeners. But then also, we needed more than one line for that to be possible, because it's not easy to have a call in when there's just one line. So I was promised that there will be a second line that we can use, at least so that we have two lines. So that's in the consideration, because some people have been requesting for it. Otherwise, I would like to thank those who send me testimonies and tell me how they've been blessed by different messages here and there. So many of them particularly about the message we had about giving. We've had quite a number of testimonies therefrom, and we really do appreciate that. Now let's get into the subject and talk about this man whom the Bible speaks about quite a bit. Actually, in so much it does speak about the Antichrist, because he's going to be a major figure towards the end of the world, and he's going to be very major at the third coming of Christ. When I say third coming of Christ, I mean the first. I keep on explaining this because people hear second coming, but okay, we know about the first coming when he came as a baby. We know about the rapture, which will be like the second coming when he comes. He doesn't reach the earth, and he kind of raptures the saints and meets them, and they meet him in the air, and he goes away. And then there's the third one when he comes actually and steps on the earth and steps on the Mount Olives and starts the millennium reign of Christ. So he's going to be an important figure up until that stage. But the Bible says, of course, at that stage he'll be destroyed, and him and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, as people were sending me, talking about false prophets, of course, now this digresses a bit, but people were telling me excited in a kind of twisted way about the Pope saying that the Big Bang Theory and evolution are right, and God is not a magician with a magic wand, and things like that. And he started everything. And of course, it was all over the news channels and caused quite some interest among humanists and among atheists and among scientists and people like that, people who need validation, who need their positions to be validated, and who are desperate for religion to fall in line with what they kind of have decided themselves, and which they, what they think they have proved, but which really hasn't been proved. Even they themselves know it hasn't been proved. Only the people who actually believe in that rubbish here think it has been proved, but the people who know, I mean the people who are in the middle of it, know nothing has been proved yet. They haven't proved the Big Bang theory yet. It cannot yet be proved because they haven't proved what they call the inflation. In other words, what they believe right now is that there were two objects that banged and created the earth with all its organization and everything. Now, even if you ignore how ludicrous that sounds, but now it's only until actually earlier this year that they managed to successfully, under very controlled conditions, bang two objects together, and the matter in one of those objects changes. So then there was a big article in the Economist, the magazine, the worldwide circulation magazine, saying that they found the God particle. What's the God particle? You can bang two, because initially, even when they were teaching the Big Bang theory, nobody had proved that if you bang two objects together, anything about the two objects can change. They remain the same. Nothing of the of the composition of both of them, until recently when they tried it under a very controlled environment and there was a slight change. Then they said, finally we've proved the Big Bang. Now, but they still have to prove what they call the inflation. How did two small objects bang together and become a big earth? Okay? They have to understand what caused the inflation, if there was ever an inflation. Of course, now that hasn't been proved yet, which means the Big Bang theory still hasn't been proved by anybody. Only it is already being taught in schools and in universities as fact. Yet even scientists are still trying to find, how do you knock two stones together, which are, let's say, 10 kilos together? How do you knock two 10 kilo objects together, and then you get an object of 200 kilograms? Now that's the dilemma for them. And of course, I actually read a lot of this science findings. There's a whole page dedicated to it in The Economist. And even the people who believe in them and think they are very knowledgeable, I actually know more about what they believe than they know, because I take time to study all these things. I don't mind reading what science believes and everything, because I know it can't change me, because I know it's rubbish. Okay, but I read so that I know. And sometimes maybe help people who believe that, if they are opening up to discussion, you explain to them what it is. And as soon as you explain what the Big Bang is, what evolution is, what Charles Darwin really believed, anybody who has an open mind knows that it's rubbish. But then, of course, they don't have open minds. They have decided, their faith is concrete, but I still want to know. Maybe I will save a few along the way. So the Pope saying that Big Bang theory is right and evolution, he doesn't know that any more than anybody, any scientist. But it excited some people. But I told you, the Pope is the peak of false teaching. And I actually pray that he does not come to Uganda. And I'm actually asking the people who are listening to this, all of us, to get on our knees and pray that that man does not come to Uganda. Let the Catholics pray that he comes, but let us pray that he does not come. If the president prays that he comes, that's his problem. But we Christians, I want us to pray and agree that he does not come to this country, because he's not bringing good influence. He's a very false person, by the way, and he's not bringing good influence. But everybody seems to be wanting, the people who are making news seem to be wanting him to come, but I don't want him to come. And one of my partners told me she had a dream in which his coming is going to disorganize so many things. So we agreed with her that we are going to pray that he does not come to Uganda. Now, I've digressed enough on that, and we are going to find a time actually and agree and pray that it does not happen. But we're talking about the Antichrist. Now, here's what the Bible says about him. There are quite a number of theories concerning where he emerges from. But most people right now, most end-time preachers right now, including myself, believe that he's already in circulation. He's already a known figure around the world. And I've been studying quite a number of people who are of prominence, who have some of the qualities that I believe, kind of like point towards the Antichrist. and where he comes from and things like that. But there are different theories about where he comes from. Let's first look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that the day will not come, that is the rapture will not come until the falling away has happened. First, I told you, the falling away of Christianity, the apostasy. In other words, the false teaching of Christianity, which has already happened, as I told you, when the Pope starts saying that God is not a magician with a magic wand. In other words, God is like a human being. Eh? Don't expect too much from him. That's what the Pope is trying to tell you. Eventually, of course, he will point everybody to a human being and say, now that is your Messiah, because that's what the false prophet does. Okay? So he's trying to take away the sovereignty of God and make people look at God as some kind of human being. Now, it says that they will not come until first two things. First of all, the falling away of Christianity, when apostate Christianity takes over. Now, that has already happened, and I showed you that already when we were talking about the false prophet in series earlier. But then it says, yet until also the man of sin is revealed. Now, that is talking about the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, who opposes everything that is called God, and who eventually stands in the temple and shows himself to be God. Now that happens, what is called the abomination that causes desolation, happens in the middle of the 7-year period. Now, the Bible says that the rapture will not happen until the falling away first happens, and then the man of sin is revealed. But then in that scripture, it actually talks about revealed twice, because I believe he's going to be revealed in two different ways, because there is a revealing which is going to be for the people who know, for the people who are in the know, because Daniel 9:27 says that he is going to confirm an agreement with Israel, between Israel and its enemies, basically the Arabs, an interim agreement for 7 years, and he is going to superintend over the group that actually comes to that agreement. Now, when that happens, people who are in the know will know that is the Antichrist for sure, because that is something that he is going to do. But then he will not yet be revealed to the world, because he will not be in full authority. Although he will now be some kind of renowned world celeb. He already is right now, but people will be looking up to him for wisdom. Now, it says that he comes with power that is not his. Okay? He comes with power and with wisdom, and with he will, a man understanding sinister schemes, Daniel says, will arise. When does he arise? It says, when the transgressors have come to their fullness, Daniel chapter 7, when sin has come to its peak, when everything has points towards people have lawlessness, sin, transgression has come to its peak, and the transgressors have reached their peak, then that man will arise, because that's the foundation on which he arises now. So then he arises, and it says he comes through flattery. Now, flattery, of course, means we're basically telling people, overstating people's qualities in a way that is meant to lure them into some kind of trap. So when you flatter somebody, you tell them that they are better than what they actually are, but it is not just praise. It is flattery has a purpose of luring that person into some kind of trap. So if you go and flatter a young lady, it's not just to tell her you look good and then you walk away. There is always a purpose. Usually it's to win her and something like that. So flattery is, so what he basically will do is he will overstate people's qualities in a way that takes them into some kind of trap. How does he do that? I've already explained to you that he actually, it's tied in the New Age doctrine where we are gods. There is no other God apart from us. That's, I mean, this is precisely what they are teaching. Now, they say that humanity, men are the ones who created God. God did not create man. Man is the only God that is going to be. Man has the ability. So you hear them saying we use only over 10% of our brains, but we can use more of our brains and more of our mind and create so many things and what. So now they are creating some kind of spiritual awareness, but which is error, which is actually outside of Christ. So they create and they make people think that they are so all this, you know, important. You can meditate and get anything done and things like that, which is what the New Agers are doing right now. And then you become God. So there is no other God. There is no time for judgment. There is no nothing. You are the men determine their future. Now, I've told you before, the reason they are so determined to stick evolution in people's minds as the source of what we see is not so much because they are trying to explain what happened yesterday. It is because they are trying to control what happens tomorrow. Now, after everybody has been convinced that we evolved from monkeys or from primates, then what is going to happen thereafter is there's going to be a new move to evolve to something that is superior. And then they will say now the next stage of evolution has arrived and everybody should welcome it. And now that evolution that they are moving towards and the system that is creating it is actually the mark of the beast, because they will give it to people and give them supernatural qualities, the same qualities that people had in the days of Noah, that time when the Bible says the sons of God came and slept with, you know, women, and they gave, sons of God meaning demons, came and slept with women, and then they gave birth to people who had supernatural qualities. First of all, they were giants, they were extremely, they were 12 feet, as some of them as tall as 15 feet. They had extraordinary qualities. They could even spiritual qualities. They had extraordinary longevity and things like that. Now those things are going to try to be recreated by people changing the human gene, a process that is already underway. I've told you that of getting animal genes and mixing them in humans, and then getting, of course, also spiritual genes from demons, which is happening, and getting them and implanting them in human beings through that microchip, which actually turns the DNA of a human being. Now, that is the next stage of evolution that they are planning. Now, at the peak of all of this, when the deception is, has taken root, and it started in 2012, then this man rises. Now, he's going to have so much wisdom, and that his people see that he is not alone. He's extraordinary, because anybody who has spiritual wisdom is wiser than the wisest person using his mind. If your wisdom is spiritual, it will always transcend the natural wisdom. So this guy comes with all the wisdom of the devil, all the sinister schemes of the devil, and comes and takes over people's minds and convinces them to do things his way, and he becomes some kind of world leader. World leader of what? Now, the Bible says 10 horns, it talks about 10 kingdoms. And then talks about 10 kings, okay, who have power for a short while, for 1 hour it says, but 1 hour symbolic of a short while, and who agree to give all power to the beast. Now, there are different theories in regard to what that means. The first theory is that the Western European Union actually has 10 countries, 10 of the bigger countries. The whole European Union, I think, is going to, it must be like 27, including, smaller countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Luxembourg, and all. But the big ones, what they call the Western European Union, has 10. Now, there are people who believe that that is it. But then also, there are, right now, the Club of Rome, which I've spoken about here before, which is one of the those satanist clubs which are plotting for the new world order, the Club of Rome, very rich and influential people, have divided the world into 10 classifications. So they actually have split it into 10 groupings, and depending on the number of things, Black Africa is one of them, then Arab Africa is the second, and others. So they have divided into 10. Now people are saying that should be it, because that's an empire that covers the whole world. That's another theory. But then the question of where exactly does the Antichrist arise from is contentious for a number of reasons. First of all, it calls him the Assyrian. Now, if you take it literally, the Assyrian, that is in Daniel. If you take it literally, the Assyrian, it actually, Assyria was in the place in war of Mesopotamia, somewhere around Iraq and Iran, basically, in the Arab world. Okay? Now, if he is an Assyrian, and if Assyrian actually meant a literal empire, as some people believe it does, that's what causes them to believe that the Antichrist will be of Muslim origin and will come and have, because actually when you look, there is people who have this line of thought are convinced that because the first time the first person to use the word Antichrist was actually the Apostle John in his epistles, And he says, who is an antichrist? But he who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now these people, he's an antichrist. Now these people say that because there's one major religion that does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because Muslims don't believe that, and John talks about that as he's the antichrist, then that means that the antichrist is going to come from the Islamic religion. Now, of course, there are a few things that kind of point in that direction. One is that there's a small issue of where he's supposed to come from, north of Israel. And when you look at the directions, north of Jerusalem, when you look at the directions and some of the things pointing towards it, people are convinced that it's actually Constantinople, the city of Constantinople, which is modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. And Turkey is kind of like a leader of... and he's going to be a leader. The nation of Turkey is going to be a leader of some kind of Islamic confederacy, which is going to stand up and try to spread Islam. Because now, remember, the Muslims believe that there's going to be the 12th Imam or the Mahdi, who is like some kind of Messiah, who is going to come and give every person a chance to convert to Islam or die. And he's going to make the whole world convert to Islam. And they are convinced that he's somewhere around, and he's going to come riding a white horse. Now, when you look in the book of Revelation, there is a counterfeit white horse now. But they believe he's going to come riding a white horse, and he's going to take over, he's going to unite all the Muslims the way Muhammad did. And then he's going to cause the whole world, to either convert to Islam or die. Now, they are very convinced about that. Of course, there are a few variations in what the Sunnis and the Shias believe in regard to the Mahdi, but where he's coming from. But all of them believe there's going to be a Mahdi who is going to come and take over the Islamic world. Now, some Christians believe that Mahdi is going to actually be the Antichrist. And he is going to be the one that is going to unite Israel. I mean, he's going to make an agreement with Israel and then make the Arabs accept it, because they will have accepted him, and then they will accept to share the Temple Mount. They will accept to leave the sharing of Jerusalem for another time, for a future moment, 7 years later, because it is going to be an interim agreement and things like that. But that theory, in as much as they will have scripture proof, because John called, the Antichrist, anybody who denies that Jesus is the Son of God, and says Muslims are the ones who do that. And then they point to the fact that the Bible calls him the Assyrian, and the Assyrian Empire was round about there. Okay? And then it also talks about, generally, when it talks in the book of Daniel about the four beasts and the empires, when you look, apart from Alexander the Great was in Greece, really, which Macedonia, the Macedonian Empire, most of them were around about that place. And then Babylon. Then they talk about the Babylonian Empire. And Babylon was somewhere around Iraq. And actually, Saddam Hussein had located the position for the old Babylon and was trying to rebuild it. But he couldn't. That's when the war came in and everything. But the Bible says it shall never be rebuilt again. But Saddam Hussein was attempting to build it. By then he was convinced that he could be the Mahdi. Saddam Hussein was convinced that he could be the Mahdi, the man who is going to unite Muslims. And he actually even bought for himself a white horse. Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, was also convinced that he could be the one. A number of Muslim leaders have been convinced that Allah could choose them to be the Mahdi, including Gaddafi. At some stage was convinced that he could be the Mahdi, but eventually he went easy on Islam and went into some kind of secular lifestyle. But there was a time when he was strong in Islam, and he was also convinced that he was going to be the Mahdi. So there are so many of those Islamic leaders who have come believing, especially in Iran, because that is the center of it. That's the place where the Islamic revolution holds. There are so many of them who believe that they are going to be there. Now, when you look at the motivation of some of this ISIS or ICL, whatever it is, the Islamic State, many of those leaders believe that Allah, so they ready themselves and actually buy white horses, because Allah could choose them to be the Mahdi. Now the question is that, can the Mahdi be the Antichrist? In reality, now, of course, there are a number of holes that you can puncture in that theory. First of all, how will the Jews believe? Because the Antichrist is going to have to be somebody whom the Jews believe is the Messiah. Okay? Jesus said, I came in the name of the Father, and you did not believe me. Someone will come in his own name, and you will believe him. Okay? Now, that among other scriptures, but the point is that the Jews are going to have to believe that the Antichrist is the Christ. And they will be convinced about that for the 3.5 years until he stops the sacrifices and declares that he is God. That's when they will discover that he's a hoax, he's false. But how are the Jews ever going to believe that the Messiah is a Muslim? They can't do that. I am puncturing holes in the whole theory of an Islamic Antichrist, because there is no way the Jews are going to believe in him. Number one. Number two, the Bible says about the Antichrist, he does not regard the God of his fathers. And at least the people who are translating the King James Bible believe that the God of his fathers was a capital G, meaning God himself, which I took to imply that he's actually going to be a Jew, because the Jews are the only ones who can have the God of their fathers being a capital G. Now, if I said myself that the God of my fathers, I'm not so sure it's going to be a capital G, because I'm not so sure my grandfather and great-grandfather were Christians. They were not. They clearly were not. So, the God of my fathers would be a small G now. It's only the Jews who can say the God of their fathers being the real God, Jehovah. Now, that means that if you derive it from that the Antichrist is actually going to be a Jew. And I totally believe that at least he's going to have some kind of claim to ascendancy from David, because he's going to claim to be the son of David. Remember, for the Jews to believe him, he has to come down the lineage. He has to descend from David. He has to come down the lineage of King David for them to believe that, because he's supposed to be the son of David. He's supposed to take the throne of David. He's supposed to have, as far as the Jews are concerned, a religious kingdom that is going to free them from their enemies and let them be in peace for the first time. Now, of course, people will say he doesn't have to be a Jew. Say that Napoleon became very friendly. Napoleon, Bonaparte, became very friendly to the Jews, and the Jews were beginning to think that he's the Messiah. And of course, he's not a Jew. So Jews have previously believed that somebody who is not a Jew was a Messiah. So now it's kind of like points one way or the other. Now, if you believe that he comes from Constantinople, which is Istanbul, Turkey, then he's going to have to be a Muslim, because Turkey is a 99% Islamic country. And actually, many Muslim countries are look to Turkey for leadership. But then there are a few other things that don't work out. Number one is, like I told you, the symbolism. When you look at the European Union, it says there's going to be a fourth Roman Empire. Now, a fourth Roman Empire, if you look at the area that was covered by the Roman Empire, in as much as actually it covered much of the Middle East, and it also covered a lot of Europe, and there's no way the Islamic empire is going to spread into Europe, although some people believe that it is going to, because Muslims have deliberately spread into countries like France, Germany, from Turkey. That's why they refused Turkey into the European Union, because if Turkey had entered the European Union, then they are free, there is freedom of movement within the European Union, and so there would be a conduit for Muslims from Turkey, first of all, but then also not from Turkey, also from the Arab world, to go through Turkey and acquire Turkish residency, then float into Europe. And there's been a move by Muslims to take over Europe by producing so many children and so many things. And there's all these imams who are just getting Muslim women and producing as many children as possible because they want to. And if you look into history, the Roman Empire fell because one sort of people decided to produce. So they can go in there when the Europeans, the traditional Europeans, are having one child or two children maximum, or no children, which is becoming a big trend. And then these Muslims come and go and acquire British citizenship, French citizenship, Dutch citizenship, and also German. And they go and start, actually German found that they were in serious trouble because they have so many Turks in Germany who came from Turkey and from places like that, some of whom are now, you know, were Germans basically, naturalized Germans. But they have so many such people. Now, they realize that the Muslims were so many, and unlike the Germans, the Muslims are not giving up on their faith because the Christians in Europe kind of despise their faith and they've gone into secularism. But the Muslims don't. For them, they believe in their thing and they are spreading it, and they are spreading it to people who were previously Christians. And on top of that, they're actually spreading fundamentalism, fundamentalist teachings, which lead to terrorists and things like that, people joining ISIS. But the thing is, Germany was forced to get involved, the government was forced to get involved in Islamic studies. And the first thing they did to dilute it is to start teaching the Quran in German, to take away the Arabic thing and what, so that these people have an identity that is more German than is, you know, Middle Eastern, than is, Arab, and try to change. So it's a big problem. Now, there are some people who believe that Muslims are going to take over Europe and the Antichrist is going to come on the background of that. But I don't see it happening because it's going to happen very soon. For that, I mean, the point is that the Antichrist is around the corner and I think he's going to be revealed by 2017. And there is no way Muslims would have taken over Europe by 2017 because their plan involves producing so many children. And that is not going to take effect in a matter of 2 or 3 years. So I just don't see it happening. But I also told you about the insignia. First of all, I told you about the European Union Parliament, which is in Brussels, Belgium, and how the number of things that caught my attention. First of all, I told you about the resolutions. The European Union Parliament, since it started, passes resolutions from resolution 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, establishing a whole European Union. It's those resolutions that have established the no boundaries, that have established the euro, the one currency, that have created strict economic measures for all countries within the European Union to adhere to, and strict democratic procedures and things like that. So they keep on setting up resolutions to govern a one kind of one state Europe. Now it is, there is a resolution which establishes that the European Union needs actually one person who has extreme powers to call all the shots and do anything that he wants to do. And that power, that person is given permission according to that resolution to use military power to bring anybody in line, to summon all the powers, all the military forces within the European Union to bring anybody who kind of deviates in line. And basically it gives that one person far-reaching powers, and that person, according from that resolution, was called Mr. Europe. Okay? And that's how powerful that resolution is, that the person who it creates is going to be called Mr. Europe. And the resolution is resolution number 666. Coincidentally, you might think. But then that's not all. The European Union Parliament is also arranged in a way that is interesting, because there are about 670-something members of the European Union Parliament. And they have seat numbers with a seat number and the name. So they will put like number one, then they put the name of the person. But they are arranged in a way that at the very top, you know, it's like a cinema. If you see how a cinema is. Now, only that at the peak of it, at the bottom peak of it, imagine yourself now in a cinema, the way it is seated. Now, at the bottom peak of it, it's a bit narrow and it extends and becomes wider towards the back, you understand? Now, at the back, there's one seat at the middle, at the very back, which is left vacant. and they say that seat is for Mr. Europe, and that seat number is 666, but it is still vacant. Now, I don't know if that is coincidental or not, but it's curious, as well as so many other things, because the symbol for Europe, for the European Union, is a woman riding a horse, a beast actually, a woman riding a bull. Now, of course, which came from Europa. Now, if you know Greek mythology, Europa was a very beautiful young lady, and the god Zeus fell in love with her, and he wanted her, so he didn't know how to woo her, so he turned himself into a beautiful animal, and she was picking flowers, and then this animal came by, and she sat on it, and then it rode away and took her, and Zeus took her and went and married her. Now, that is the mythology of Europa, from whom the name Europe comes. Now, the symbol is a woman riding on a beast. Now, when you read Revelation 17, verse 3, it says, he took me into the wilderness and showed me a woman riding a beast. Now, that is a symbol of Europe. It's a symbol of the false prophet and also of the Antichrist, a woman riding a beast. But it also happens to be the symbol of Europe. That's why it sounds a bit more convincing that the Antichrist actually comes from Europe more than from the Islamic Empire, as some people believe. As well as a few other things. I mean, Europe has, the combined economy of Europe becoming so big, the way Germany has become a kind of an empire. And now there are so many people who believe that when the Bible says that one of his heads was wounded as fatally but recovered miraculously, that it's talking about Germany. Remember, he talks about four heads, and those four heads represent countries. One head is of a lion, which represents the Great Britain. Another head is of a bear, which is, and I'm talking about national symbols, a bear, which represents Russia. The other head is of a leopard, which represents Germany. And so there are four kingdoms all together within there, okay? And all these have national symbols in there. Now, then there is one which has 10 heads, 10 heads. Now, those 10 heads, from those 10 heads, three will be plucked as the Antichrist comes out, if you read the book of Daniel. Now, which means the Antichrist will come on a backbone of some kind of three-nation confederacy. So, what does this mean? This means that the whole European thing. Now, if you believe that Germany is the head that was injured, as actually Newsweek has previously said, that they were injured and suffered a fatal blow, but they have recovered. Talking about Germany, because after the Second World War, if you know what Germany was like after the Second World War, they were nothing. They were complete. They were finished. There was nothing left of Germany. But now it is the biggest economy in Europe, and not just that, it is actually almost dictating everything that is happening in Europe. All economies, it's dictating what's happening in the UK, even if the UK was given some kind of veto power over European Union, but they are losing that. Germany is helping economies in Spain, economies in Greece, and Italy as well. And they actually, I was reading an article the other day in the New York Times saying Germany has created an accidental empire because they are the only strong economy in Europe. And now they are helping out all the other economies to keep the Eurozone together. Now, if Germany is causing a leadership of that place, and there was a time I told you when the Lord told me to investigate the relationship between Germany, the UK, and the Vatican. And I took some time investigating that relationship, the German and the English monarchies separated. Those two were actually one at some stage, and the European and the English kings were being called by German names. You wouldn't believe that now, because the English kind of pretend that they despise the Germans and everything, but the truth is they kind of originated from there. And how Germany had an agreement with the Vatican from way back, actually from the what they call the Hitler, the third Reich, the Hitler thing, when Hitler had an agreement with the Vatican that when he takes over Europe, Catholicism will become the official religion of Europe, as in the only and official religion, which is what Catholicism has always wanted to be. They have always fought to use politics to entrench themselves as the only official religion, and they tried that under Hitler, but they kind of slipped out of it when they saw that the Hitler thing was failing. So there's all that thing, and I believe that the Antichrist rises out of either France, the UK, or Germany. He is not going to be, you know, people say, so many people saying Antichrist from America. There's not going to be an Antichrist from America. America is going to get off the face. I mean, it's going to cease to be that important, and Europe is going to be the center of everything. And you can now see in Europe that there is already, I mean, I've not seen a continent that is as ready for the Antichrist as Europe. I mean, they have totally eliminated everything to do with God. They are so godless. Even Ugandans who go there eventually become godless, and because the atmosphere is so charged with unbelief and with godlessness. And I mean, any of those countries, especially now if you go to Scandinavia, oh my God, if you go to countries like Norway, Denmark, Sweden, the amount of godlessness and the atmosphere charged with, quite frankly, you have to be a really strong Christian to survive there for a long time, because the atmosphere just chokes your belief out of you. Now, Europe is a continent that is ready for the coming of the Antichrist. And I believe the Antichrist is right there, and he's ready, he's prepared, getting prepared to come, okay? And he, I believe, is coming through Europe. But he is not going to come in the strong way that people believe he is. I don't think he's going to be the charismatic. You know, now, these are the things that, you know, people teach, so many, but he's going to be a very charismatic person speaking. So, no, he's not. He is going to be subtle. He is going to have power. And the Bible says he is going to understand sinister schemes. Now, people who understand sinister schemes know how to control without necessarily putting their face out there. I'm sure you know people like that. And everything of the secret societies and things like that happens. They front people who have no power. Now, when you look, for instance, at the policies that America puts forward, like even Barack Obama and all this, you know, the liberal policies, the promotion of, you know, all the everything liberal, from homosexuality to what, it's not him. There are people who are pulling the strings behind, but they just put him there and make him be the person who makes the decisions and everything. Otherwise, he knew, for instance, in the midterm elections, he knew the Democrats were heading for a big defeat, and they actually suffered a big defeat. But there are people who are controlling the strings. Now, that's how the Antichrist is kind of going to be. When he comes out, we will all know that all along he has been pulling strings, all along he has been making things happen, but we didn't know that he had that much power. Now, when he steps out and comes out in the open, which the Bible calls the revealing of the Antichrist, it is going to be to create peace. And he is going to come out as a man of peace. And everybody is going to hail him as a man of peace. But it is going to come on the background, I believe, of that war which the Bible talks about. A war which will kill one third of humanity. Now, it's interesting that the Pope, who is one of the biggest voices now of the New World Order, Pope Francis, said that the world should prepare for the Third World War. And I'm thinking, wow, now this is interesting, because when it comes from him, those people, now then, they said, I told you this before, but now they said the Ebola outbreak, I was reading it in some of the headlines in the newspapers, the Ebola outbreak might last forever. And I'm thinking, okay, so now we are going to have permanent Ebola. And now you see there is a whole move by the news media to blow Ebola out of proportion. Even in America, there's not been any number of cases for anybody to be scared about Ebola in America. There have been three people, one of whom died, who was a black and who wasn't an American. The two American whites survived. Period. But now when CNN talks about Ebola, you can think like people are dropping dead like ripe mangoes. They are not. But why is there a move to Ebolaize the whole world? Even in Africa, there are three or four countries that actually have Ebola. all the other countries have zero cases. Okay? People are being quarantined from coming from Rwanda, zero cases. Uganda, zero cases. Kenya, zero. I mean, only four or five countries have Ebola. But, and even now others like Nigeria, it ended. There are no further cases of Ebola. But now everywhere, as if, you know, everywhere, even from South Africa to Cairo, everywhere, Ebola. But it's all created by the media. And you know, when you see something being pushed by the media, it's being done for a purpose now. So there's going to be a third world war. I told you there's all this thing of, first of all, creating awareness in order to spread something. I told you there's going to be, actually, the CNN said that people should prepare for a big Ebola outbreak. Now, of course, they know what they are talking about. Now, the Pope says there's going to be a third world war. Interestingly, the Bible says there's going to be a war which is going to start around the river Euphrates. I've told you that before. Which is going to be a purely Islamic war. One of the reasons I don't believe that the Antichrist is going to come from the Islamic world, because it comes from the from that place, the river Euphrates. Now, all the countries where the river Euphrates passes are Islamic, from Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria. Okay? All of them are Islamic countries. Now, the war is going to start there, and I believe it's going to start over some kind of, you know, disagreement. Now, the way things are happening so fast. Now, the other day in Israel, there is a rabbi who stirred up people by saying Jews should be allowed to go and pray from the Temple Mount, because the Temple Mount thus far has only Muslims have been allowed to go there, because the Al-Aqsa Mosque is there. The Al-Aqsa Mosque was built when the Turks were in charge of that place, because they kind of knew that that's where the Jewish temple was. They wanted to make sure that the Jews never come back. So they went and built a mosque where they believed that the temple, Solomon's temple, was. The only trouble is that they actually fired miss, because they built it in a place separate from where Solomon's temple was, because the temple is going to be built there, the Bible says. But that is not going to happen immediately. It's going to happen after there has been that Euphrates River War. I will not call it a third world war, although that's what the Pope called it, and he told people to prepare for it, but it is going to happen, and it's going to start around the Middle East. And the Bible says it will kill one third of humanity. It's going to be that bad. Obviously, it is going to involve nuclear weapons, because elsewhere in Revelation, it says people's flesh will melt off them. It's going to involve nuclear, weapons. We know there are some countries there that have nuclear weapons. Syria was developing them. Apparently, Russia kind of destroyed their stockpile. But Israel has been saying how Iran are developing nuclear weapons. We know that Israel have them themselves. I don't know if they will use them. But the point is that if they must use them to protect themselves, they might use them. But the war is going to come from there, and it is going to kill as many as 2 billion people, 2.3 billion people, as a matter of fact. And it is not far away. Now, after that happens, and it is not that far away, by the way, because now even the Pope has joined the chorus of people telling people to prepare for it. Now, when that happens, eventually, there's going to be such a clamor for peace. How can all these people die? I mean, everybody is going to be talking peace, peace, peace. All this Middle East thing has to be sorted, and so on and so forth. They have to share the Temple Mount. Jews and Muslims can no longer fight over those 37 acres of land called the Temple Mount. Is there any way that it can be shared, and things like that? Then one person, of course, there will be resistance to it still from the Muslims who want full control over the Temple Mount. But one person will stand up who will understand sinister schemes, and he will come and tell them exactly how they are going to share the Temple Mount. And because all this, or even the whole Islamic thing, is caused by the devil, when this person comes with the anointing of the devil, everybody will listen to him, because the whole thing, these Muslims, what, you know, and all that, is it's all devil stuff. So of course they will listen to themselves, and then he will stand up and speak to the Muslims, and they will listen, because he will have the anointing of the same spirit that is working through the Muslims. And he will tell them that this is what is going to happen. We are going to share the Temple Mount. Jerusalem, we are not going to share it. Let's leave it to the Jews. But for only 7 years, we shall come back to that later. And now all these things have been written down. By the way, there is a bill in the Israeli Knesset talking about a 7-year agreement giving away Judea and Palestine, which is called the West Bank, for the Palestinian state, and Israel are willing to give that away as long as they retain full control over Jerusalem, East and West Jerusalem. Of course, the Muslims want East Jerusalem, but the Jews don't want to divide Jerusalem again. So now that is what's going to happen. No, this man will come and superintend over it. I believe he's going to come from Europe after some time, because now clearly the Muslims don't trust America. Now even Israel does not trust America. The relationship between Israel and America has completely soured, thoroughly soured, that now Jewish newspapers are saying they should prepare for war. Forget about America. America is not one of our allies, because Barack Hussein Obama has completely turned America. Has come up with policies that are not any different from Hamas. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, he's so anti-Israel, Barack Obama. Of course, he tries to hide it a bit because the American public still are for Israel, but he's so anti-Israel. Now, Israel don't trust him any longer. Now, the point is, Israel don't trust America. The Arabs definitely don't trust America. So, they are going to look for solutions elsewhere. Now, the Arabs trust kind of European countries more than they trust America, because European countries are a lot more liberal and a lot more leaning towards the Palestinian cause and what than America ever can be because of its population, because American population is strongly influenced by, you know, what's good for the Jews. So now that means America gets out of the way. Somebody comes to negotiate a peace agreement who is from Europe, and that person turns out to be the Antichrist. He might not be at the forefront, but he'll be like the person who pulls the strings, and eventually everybody will know that he's the one who made it happen. He will get credit for making it happen. Finally, they have signed a peace agreement, Israel and Palestine. Finally, there is a Palestinian state. Finally, Palestine have agreed to have Gaza City as their capital and not East Jerusalem. Finally, Israel has given up West Bank or Judea and Samaria, as the Bible calls them. And finally, they've agreed to share the Temple Mount. Now, when they agree that, immediately they agree, that starts the final 7 years of human government. Now, I'm telling you, this is not too far away, okay? We are not talking 30 years, you understand? We are talking, because all these things are so shaping up very fast that now they are telling you there's going to be a third world war, the Pope. And it's going to happen in a very short time. It's not going to be a war that lasts 6 years like the Second World War. It is going to last much shorter. It is going to be very brief. It's going to cause such huge devastation. And I believe ISIS have started. I mean, they are laying the foundations of that war, because now destroying that Islamic State is going to involve so many countries which are silently funding it, including Kuwait, including Syria, including Bahrain, and all those Islamic countries are going to come together. So it's going to be difficult, very difficult. Now the West is scared of ISIS. Actually, one Western newspaper said that if ISIS and Al-Qaeda combine, it will be a threat to civilization, to general civilization. Now, in order to destroy that, there's going to be a big war. But that war is going to have to involve Israel. Somehow Israel is going to do something to precipitate it, and the whole war, and the Muslims are going to combine against Israel. There's going to be nuclear weapons. There's going to be 2.3 million people dead, all of them, most of them around that area. And there are going to be other countries involved. Russia and China might get involved on the side of the Arabs to make up those numbers, I believe. Because if you read Ezekiel 38, that whole Gog and Magog, okay, and that's the area of China and around, you know, Eastern Europe and a bit of Asia, China and what. So if you read actually Ezekiel 38, those two countries will be involved in that war, which will kill 2.3 billion people. Now, if you look at the way Russia is and they distrusted Russia, it's clear that Russia can do anything, because now they are falling out completely with the West. It's almost like we are going back to Cold War days. So all this thing is brewing up, but that person is going to come out. Now, next time we are going to discuss names. I'm going to tell you about some of the people who have been fronted as possible Antichrist. Now, that's going to be interesting, but we'll talk about that next time. If you have any question, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. That's the email. You can also visit us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman. So that's what we're going to talk. Now, this is just an introduction. And a lot of the things I've said here today actually have been said before in different messages. But I just wanted to bring all these things here together. Now, next time when I bring out a name and discuss some of the things that are, well, can speak about a person and why I think that person is a plausible candidate for the Antichrist. I'm not saying this person is the Antichrist. I'm just saying it's possible. And now we are talking about somebody who is already alive and living, who is already world-renowned. All the people that we are going to be talking about, whom I've been investigating. We'll talk about that next Wednesday. In the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful week.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.